Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, October the 8th, 278th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Convention and Visitors Bureau Executive Director Tony Smithers.
Good afternoon, Brian.
It is indeed. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about some of the impacts if the federal government decides to close its doors. For whatever the reason is, we'll talk about some of the challenges we've been hearing a little bit about, some of the national parks, some of the memorials, things of that nature being closed in Washington. We'll talk a little bit about what some of the impacts are in our region when we come back.
Bring it home.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Top this afternoon with Tony Smithers. But before we do, our quote this afternoon, let's see, comes from Thomas Fuller. Quote, all things are difficult before they are easy. I'll embrace that one. How about you?
Yes, I'll give that a 10 out of 10. But that was easy.
Yeah, exactly. So, Tony, when you were hearing about some of the anticipated issues around the budget at the federal level, we've also had it at the state level. When the state has a budget that's upside down, everybody just kind of keeps plunking along.
Mm-hmm.
The feds have decided to take a different tact. And again, we'll leave the arguments aside for the how comes. Were you anticipating that there would be any significant impacts or any significant changes in our area?
Well, yes, and the short answer is yes. As you know, our tourism economy is based upon our public lands, our parks. It's a great place to live in Humboldt County, don't get me wrong, but the reason people come here is because of the outdoor recreation, first and foremost. And so the federal government controls a large percentage of those lands, and they made it very clear earlier on that the Park Service and other lands are going to be, the first things to be shut down when the lights turned off.
So how do you shut down the forest?
It's not easy.
I mean, it's trails, it's people getting access. I would think what most people would hear is, oh, the rangers aren't there. Oh, Fish and Wildlife isn't there. Oh, we can do things now that maybe we couldn't do before.
Well, that's a danger as well, that the law and, the enforcement side of it. Many parks are different from Redwood National Park. Redwood National Park has a lot of access points that are on public highways. Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's places you can turn off the road and hit, and have, there's a trailhead and bang, you're in the park. We don't charge entry fees for most of the park unless you go to Fern Canyon or a couple of the other backcountry areas.
Oh, do they charge at Fern Canyon? I've only gone from the bottom side and walked in.
No, if you drive Davison Road out, there's a kiosk. When you hit the beach,
right,
that collects your $5 and then you go.
Right, okay.
But for the most part, that park is wide open. So shutting it down does present a bit more of a challenge than for other parks.
Well, I suppose that's the benefit of having a park that doesn't have that many services.
Right.
You don't miss them when they're gone, or you don't feel it as much if they're gone.
Well, this is the same issue that came up when California's budget was wobbly. And again, we are the beneficiaries of a very unique partnership between the Federal Park Service and California Parks and Recreation. That is Redwood National and State Parks is the official name of the unit. It includes Prairie Creek Redwood State Park, Del Norte Coast Redwood State Park, Jedediah Smith Redwood State Park, and then sort of like the pudding that holds all those together are various federal properties, Mill Creek and all those places around that. So when the state government was going to be shutting things down, the federal part kept those parks and campsites open. And what do we have now? Exactly the same thing. Prairie Creek Redwood State Park, Del Norte, Jed Smith are all open for business because they are state parks after all.
So in looking at that hybridization thing, I guess, what is the impact other than not being able to buy the maps or the puzzles or the throw blankets or the umbrellas?
At the one federal visitor center, Kukul at Freshwater Lagoon.
That's the one that's out on the mill site?
Right.
Okay.
And then the other headquarters visitor center they have up in Crescent City.
Downtown.
Right. Okay. Well, the practical impact of someone who's actually at the park is minimal. There's some parts of the park you maybe can't get to. But the impact from a broader sense is huge. And that's because of public perception. Folks don't realize that we have this arrangement that our park is still largely open. All they're hearing on the media is doom and gloom and parks, monuments, everything's shuttered.
Other facilities.
Exactly.
That are being dealt with differently.
So, we've been, since the first day of the shutdown, the Bureau has been flooded with phone calls, people wondering, where do I go, where do I do? Their perception is that everything's closed.
Kind of tells you the misnomer about the entire facility, doesn't it? If nobody knows what's there when it's there, then when it's not there, wondering, yeah, we took all the trees and went home. KINS, News and Information. Well, okay, built homes. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Tony Smithers.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late Spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers from the Visitors Bureau. Tony, the last time we got together, you talked about the new enhanced super large budget that the Lodging Association in the county had developed, and that there was a sizable chunk and that it was being used for shoulder season buildup. Now, I forget what media was being used. I know that it wasn't radio. Are you able to change the message so that you've been able to, in the last few days, say, come here, we are open. We aren't like some of the others. You can still get into the parks. You can still see what's going on. You can still experience our part.
Right. Unfortunately, it was a 6-week campaign, and it finished just before the government shutdown. So the things that are still available for us to tweak that message are websites, and that we are doing.
Does a Visitors Bureau with the non-lodging association dollars have revenues available to be able to throw quick flight activity or short-term high-impact campaigns into the Bay Area to get those folks?
We do. And, of course, the things that we're doing right away are the real technical ones. They are the social media, the publicity and media outreach, to let the public know that we are open for business.
Out of the market. Exactly. Are you going to support that with anything, or is it so fluid, or the dollars just aren't there to be able to do a traditional marketing campaign, so the one that you guys just invested those resources in doesn't die quick because sales over, so to speak?
Right. Well, you're right. There's two pools of resources. The Lodging Alliance, their campaigns are sort of more longer term. We're working on a holiday campaign for them right now that's mostly based upon events and activities which are not really park oriented, though there is certainly a public land element to that, because we are a year round destination. But then the Bureau does have its own marketing pool. You know, the funds that we get from City of Eureka, for the most part, County of Humboldt, membership fees, you know, provide us some other resources. And yeah, those we can be tactical with and look for ways to try and mitigate this public perception that we're closed.
How do you know when to pull the trigger and say, okay, we're gonna take some money, we're gonna throw it, invest it, because we need to? I mean, because I would think if you're using the traditional barometers, month-end reports, I mean, it could be way too late if you did that.
Well,
or do you just kind of go, executive decision, boom?
Well, to do the low-cost stuff that I mentioned earlier, you know, the social media and web stuff, was a no-brainer, because we can just jump on that. As for committing, you know, advertising dollars, that is a little more, because the situation is so fluid. We're watching Washington every day, wondering how long the brinksmanship's going to go on, and, you know, is this going to be a short-term problem or a long-term problem?
Yeah, which prognosticator do you believe the most?
Exactly.
But if you wait, and it is like some of the folks that I'm more familiar with saying, this could be 3 or 4 or 5 weeks or longer. Okay. I mean, there's certainly the major milestone next week with the federal budget.
Right.
But that could be just compounding the situation rather than alleviating one.
Well, fortunately, the folks in Washington were very considerate, and they waited until our tourism season was over. Not that we don't have, as I say, year-round visitation, but if this had happened before or during our peak season, then we'd be really hurting.
Yeah, maybe that's why they had their fiscal year go October 1 through September 30.
Yeah.
So at this point, hurry up and wait? Are you waiting for some, you know, some red flags or some dead canaries to be able to execute an emergency plan?
Well, there's just so much we can do now. Every year there's more and more that we can do that's in the area of social media, of reaching out to opinion leaders, blogging. We could reach a lot of eyeballs that way. And that we are doing every day in every way we can think of.
But if you're getting the phone calls, is that from people who aren't being reached? Or are those from people who are being reached but they don't understand?
Both. Yeah.
Okay. Nothing simple, huh?
There is nothing simple. But the good side is that people are actually motivated enough, and they know to pick up the phone, actually call the Visitor Bureau and the destination that they're concerned about. That's a good sign.
Are the lodging folks also getting the same phone calls?
They are.
And so it's interesting to me at least, with the limited number that use the parks, that this would be even of a concern for somebody coming here who is going to step 10 feet into the woods, turn around, say they touched a redwood tree, and then leave.
Well, we did actually just implement a shoulder season marketing campaign, which talked about how wonderful the parks are to visit in the fall and how great the weather is at this time of year. So,
oh, that's the gist of what just concluded a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Good timing. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Are you thinking about opening or expanding your business in McKinleyville? Come see what the McKinleyville Shopping Center has to offer. We're holding an open house for prospective tenants this Wednesday, October 2nd from 4 to 7 p.m. We have great lease rates and incentives. Benefit from the foot traffic generated by quality businesses like Safeway, Ramon's Bakery, Subway, and Napa Auto Parts. Call us at 268-1800 with any questions or visit McKinleyvilleShoppingCenter.com. Come join us this Wednesday from 4 to 7.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. Tony's the Executive Director of the Humboldt County Convention and Visitors Bureau. Tony, so with the television campaign, and you were indicating that it was talking about come see the national parks or the parks after.
The Redwoods, yeah.
Yeah. How do you rescue a program that has been, we could say, emasculated? We could say set aside. We could say the timing is really soft. We could say kneecapped. I mean, there's all kinds of different phrases, but basically, a big question mark is there.
Right.
How do you try to retrieve that value, or do you just say, you know, it's kind of like advertising Tuscaloosa, and here comes the hurricane and knocks Tuscaloosa off the map. You just go, you know, we tried, and there's really nothing we can do to recuperate a vast majority of that value.
Well, you've been asking me to commit some dollars to this, and I'm going to ask my board to do that very.
So there are plans.
Yeah.
To do that.
I mean, yeah. we can mitigate a lot of it with the media outreach. There's some writers like for the Chronicle who really, know our destination very well, and we're working on them.
Are they as sympathetic? Because I wouldn't imagine that Humboldt Redwoods or Redwood National Park are the only ones that are like that. You know, I would tend to think that they might do a series, an article talking about all the parks that are still open.
Well,
rather than just highlighting on this one.
Exactly. So, but the story that makes us different is the fact that there's this federal state partnership that manages our complex.
Are we the only ones that have got that?
That I know of, it's quite unique.
Huh. I wonder what the history behind that was.
So that is there is a story there. But you're right. It's a great opportunity for anyone who has a non-federal piece of public land to say, hey, we're here and ready for you.
Going to that level with the state parks. Is California State Parks, are you aware that they're doing anything? You know, I know they've commented about being bled dry in the past and that there's nothing there and et cetera, et cetera.
And then they found the $52
million. Imagine that.
Yeah.
But the state parks, are they doing any marketing saying, come see us, whether it's in our district in one or in any of the other state parks?
The state parks really don't do much in the way of that kind of marketing anyway. And they're actually going through a soul searching process right now. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, there was a meeting up here in Eureka, which they are moving around the state by a group called the Parks Forward Foundation, who have a mission to chart a new course for the parks and to deal with some of the longstanding issues and problems which the state parks have been dealing with.
Like what?
Deferred maintenance is one, volunteerism, attendance, those kinds of issues.
Boy, I would think, not that I'm an expert, but I would think they could look at the Oregon State Parks, which is part of the road division, it'd be analogous to Caltrans in California, and see how well their parks are maintained and how highly used they are.
There's a lesson
example,
there.
There might be. There might be that people don't want queens. Weeds growing all over the place. They would actually like to have a park-like setting in some of these. But anyway, so they're going around. They're not going to be a player to get the word out with this at all then.
No, I mean, they're really focused on the state parks and its sort of long-term vision. I guess that's maybe the one of the overriding factors of this whole situation is that no one really expects it to go on forever or very long even.
Yeah, the longest I've heard was 2 or 3 months.
Right. And, of course, the problem is that when you ignore something like a park for 2 or 3 months, then, there's a cost to that. There's maintenance problems,
grow. Not California state parks. Sorry, cheap comment. You have to be mowing the grass in order to have the grass look like it.
Yeah, but I think that they're subject to vandalism and that kind of issue as well. I'm glad to see that for the most part, the law enforcement side of the Park Service is still on.
So the Rangers are still out.
They're still on the job. Yeah.
So the parks aren't closed. Just access.
Right.
So many of the areas, or some of the areas.
Right. Okay.
So does the Bureau have a plan B or contingency plan or that kind of stuff, whether it's this or let's say we have another earthquake or another tidal wave or another big windstorm or, any of those natural things that we tend to seem to get on a somewhat cyclical basis. Mm-hmm. Do you have those contingency plans set aside, ready to execute when, let's say, the next big earthquake hits?
Yeah, we do. We do. And there's a whole plan for communication, because a lot of our stakeholders would be concerned about the availability of services. And what do you do when you have family who are visiting in the area while something happens, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So that's a little different than the OES stuff that we're tapped into.
Right.
But similar in many regards.
And then what's the marketing response? That really has to depend on the situation. Generally, no matter how good or bad the outcome is, the public perception is going to be worse. So it's going to be a PR effort to tell people that we are in fact open for business and their favorite attraction is still up and running.
Yeah, particularly when the news guys, if it's a big one. The regional news guys come in and they're looking for examples of how bad it is.
Exactly.
To make it newsworthy rather than everything's okay here. Not much of a news story.
If you might recall when we were receiving the tail end of the tsunami a number of years ago, and the news, there were some stories, and actually there was damage. If you call Crescent City Harbor got pretty smashed.
Oh yeah, they're looking good now, but yeah, they got impacted.
But on the whole, Humboldt County was in pretty good shape. And yet there were people who really were looking for the negative story that they could tell, and we couldn't help them there.
Yeah, it's amazing how that happens sometimes. So a lot of the self-guided stuff, very little impact on, I'm thinking Lady Bird Johnson. Okay. You park. Parking lot's still there. You walk, you can still walk there. Now, the facilities, the I wouldn't really use the term bathroom, but it's call it the building mm-hmm. at the end of the parking lot, that would probably be then closed or locked.
Well, see, that's in a federal part of the park. It's not operated by the state. So what you're going to find, in fact, is that the whole parking lot is closed.
Oh, so they have some yellow tape or a couple of cones kind
exactly.
of
thing.
I think we could figure out how to get around that one, if need be.
And then the park rangers are going to drive by and see you and say, get out of here.
Okay, you betcha. So is there much enforcement going on also? Have you heard anything about the enforcement side of this situation as it's playing out in Humboldt and Del Norte County?
No, we haven't heard. We focus on getting people into Prairie Creek because that's our Humboldt County park. And also Patrick's Point and Humboldt Redwoods and
Jed Smith, is that a federal exclusive?
Jed Smith is a state park.
Okay, so that would be another one that would be accessible.
Exactly. Right now. And Del Norte Coast Redwoods is kind of mostly closed this time of the year anyway.
Yeah, just because it kind of gets sloppy.
It's got that one main campground that they just generally seasonal.
And the county parks are obviously all open too.
County parks are open. All the great city parks we have, like Sequoia Park and Arcata Community Forest and Russ Park, those are all there for our visitors to enjoy.
I can't imagine going, well, yes, I can. I guess Portland has some. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Tony Smithers.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass, and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. Tony, looking at this situation, if it plays out long, obviously there's going to be some impacts. There'll be some changes, some cancellations, things of that nature. It also opens the door for opportunity. Are you going to push hard to your board to say, this is why we have contingency funds? This is why we need to bring it up. Yeah, Christmas is nice and dandy, but right now there's more people looking for stuff to do, particularly if you just look out on the roads. I mean, all the out-of-state plates, all the Winnebagos. I mean, there's still an awful lot of tourist activity going on. I would think you would want to fish now where there's more fish rather than waiting later in the calendar year and trying to get some fish into the stream.
Oh, absolutely. And there's also the effect that you notice in marketing that it's really hard to it's harder to regain lost ground. So that if you lose a customer now, then
11
you,
times,
yeah, you have to go through the whole process of regaining that customer. So it is important to have some contingency that if we do recognize that there's damage happening, and there's ways we can do that. We can certainly, you know, take the pulse of our. Of our visitor base that we have emails for, we can even, you know, do research out there. Then I'm definitely going to be asking the board for the go-ahead to do that ameliorative, mitigating marketing campaign.
You mean short-term advertising activity out of the market? Yeah, okay, I got
yeah.
it. I don't use five syllables. Okay. I can only count to three, so I get lost.
Oh, three syllables. Okay.
Three syllables.
I know what you want to say. Radio.
Yeah, well, that would work, yes. Amazing how you did that one. As you're looking at it, I would think it's an opportunity. Somebody might have been, for whatever reason, looking at going to Yosemite. Well, okay. Sorry. But they're still wanting to go somewhere this time
right.
of year, so instead of just holding serve, so to speak, you know, at a base of whatever it might have been, might actually be an opportunity to see a 20 or 25% bump up if everybody else is lying low and nobody else is inviting these folks into the community.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, Yosemite, you got to feel sorry for them because they're already hurting because of the fires, though, that were, you know, months or so ago. Didn't really impact the park itself, but it turned a lot of people off. And now the park itself is closed. And, you know, there were stories about guests at the Ahwahnee Hotel saying, you know, you got 2 days to get out of here. So, oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
that's long-term damage. People don't forget things like that.
Yeah, I would think customer service would be somewhat limited.
Yeah.
And the impression of that. So, anyway, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Hopefully we'll hear from you as things develop.
There'll be good news, I'm sure.
Thanks for coming by. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.